Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for your love and grace which leads us through our days, and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue this morning that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, that you would cause us to hear your still small voice. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. If you would, pull out your sermon notes. It's a fill-in-the-blank with some extra room that you could jot some notes down. When God speaks to you, write it down, because what's the first thing we forget when we leave service? What God spoke to us about, right? Somebody asked you, so how was church yesterday? It was good. God spoke to me, but I couldn't tell you what it was. So take some notes as you listen to the sermon, asking God to speak to your heart, asking God to speak to your very spirit this morning. And then on the other side is a daily quiet time for this week. I've simplified it this week. And take time to spend time with Jesus. If you're listening online, there's a PDF file that you can download that has the sermon notes and the devotions for the week. Now, I don't know about you, but I have to say I felt cheated this week. I really, really felt cheated this week. You see, they had been talking on the news for several days about a particular day coming up, and I found myself out in Fowlerville doing some ministry on Monday, and I knew at the peak time of the eclipse for our area was about 2:27 p.m. I was outside and I took a picture of the sun. Here's that picture. No, there's no picture of the sun. What I had on my phone was the sun. There was no moon. There was no eclipse. Just a bright orb in the sky. And as you can imagine, I asked this question. Where's the moon? Where's the eclipse? Checked my watch. It was the right time. A couple minutes later, I took another picture with my phone. And again, I asked the question, where is the moon? Where is the eclipse? Now, in hindsight, I believe I was missing something. Some special, I think this is on there, special purpose solar filters called eclipse glasses. Eclipse glasses. How many people had eclipse glasses this week? Just a handful. Did you see the eclipse? I did not have those special glasses or a filter on my phone, so I totally missed the eclipse. Even though I saw it, I did not experience it. How sad. It didn't even seem to me that the day was less bright to me. I don't know about you, but to me. But there were other people in Detroit taking pictures. And as I looked at these people, I noted that it doesn't look that dark there either. Even though 79% of the sun was hidden by the moon, you see the rest of the sun still lights the day. And you can see it produces shadows. This is a powerful sun when you only need to have 21% or less, and it still produces the light we need to live by. But the reality, my reality was this. What couldn't be seen by the naked eye or the naked camera was actually taking place. The reality of the 79% eclipse existed even though I couldn't see it. Wow. Isn't that sad? To look at something and to not see it? You know, this could be applied to other things like our eternal destination. You see, the reality is we have to note, like the eclipse, without special glasses, there are things. There are things that are true even though we have not seen it with our naked eye. There are things that remain true even though we haven't seen it with our naked eye. The reality is God existed and created the world, that Jesus died for our sins that we might have a right relationship with God the Father, that the Holy Spirit resides in us, in all who believe. That's a reality. That heaven exists, even if we cannot see it. That one day, if we continue to believe, we will enter into all eternity with God. Those realities exist, even though we might not be able to see it. And like my experience with the eclipse this past Monday, we have to note that there are those who walk around in this life seeing or not seeing or knowing God. There are people who walk around in this life with their eyes wide open, but they don't see or know God. And these are people we know who don't experience God. People in our families, people we live next door to, people that we work with or have gone to school with. People walk around with their eyes open but never really see the truth of God. A couple weeks ago, probably about three or four now, I talked with this guy. Let's call him George. George had been attending church for a long, long time, but he said to me he never really saw God or heard God, and that the services that he was attending didn't draw him closer to God. He didn't know God any more or any better when he walked out the doors. He said he had been in the midst of some difficulties in his life, and he didn't elaborate on what they were, but I could see by his countenance as he talked a little bit about these difficulties that they weighed on him emotionally. They caused a lot of emotional stress in his life. And George knew enough to turn to God and to ask God for peace in the midst of his storm. You won't believe what he told me next. He told me that God delivered him. That God delivered that peace. That peace that passes all understanding was guarding his heart and his soul and his mind in Christ Jesus. He asked for something from God and God delivered. He said, immediately, the weight was off my shoulders. Now he said he still needed to face the circumstances that he was dealing with, but the peace from God was in his heart and his mind and his soul at that moment. And this experience impacted him profoundly. He said he began to check out some other churches and began to more deliberately spend time in God's Word. I could see that it was changing him. He said he now seeks to be like Christ. He said he now seeks to be like Christ intentionally. Get this, intentionally forgiving others. That suggested to me that he was a man who wasn't easily moved to forgiveness, maybe held on to grudges. Asking God when he finds himself in a situation now, he asks, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do in this particular situation? And he said to me, the second thing that I'm trying to do, it's not only become more like Jesus, but he said, I'm trying not to tell white lies anymore. He said, I was so surprised, even shocked, at how many white lies I was telling throughout the day. You know, not those big benders, but those little tiny white lies. He said, I'm not going to do that anymore. And finally, he said he was now appreciating life more. He had a sense of gratitude for life that he didn't have it before. He said, no more woe is me. He said, I'm learning to be content with what I have, not with what I don't have. You see, he told me he saw for the first time the true commitment God had for him That was that breaking point. To realize first time that true commitment God had for him, for us, and realize that he truly did not have that commitment to God. God was committed. He was all in. But he said, I was not. He understood maybe for the first time in his life that Jesus' commitment to him to die on the cross by laying down his life, Jesus was fully in. Jesus didn't hold back. And in response to this revelation, he made a deeper commitment back to God. He ended up making a deeper commitment back to God, seeking to respond to life as Jesus would, curbing the saying of little white lies and learning to be content, having a life of gratitude instead of woe. Now, this recommitment to following Jesus, to living like Jesus has, seemed to impact his life, his soul, his whole outlook on life. How about you? Have you had these types of moments where you have experienced God in a profound way? And then made a deeper commitment to God as a result of this profound experience? Or are you just walking through life, seeing but not really experiencing God? We're going through a series in the Wednesday morning Bible study here at the church on the end times. And one of the scriptures we're about to approach this week, and I've read it a number of times before, talks about, or Jesus is talking to the disciples about a difficult days ahead for them. And it says, Jesus tells the disciple of a future time when Christians will be handed over to be persecuted to death, and they will be hated by all nations because of me. And we look around in the U.S. and we say, well, some people get shunned maybe for being a Christian. Maybe someone says something nasty about them. It's just a crutch. And we say, yeah, this isn't happening in our lifetime. All you have to do, though, is go over to some of the third world nations where people are being killed for their belief in Christ. Literally dying for the name of Christ. It goes on to say in Matthew 24:10, read it with me. Joe, can you give me a hand here? Down arrow. Well, there's the eclipse, yeah. Read it with me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Turning away from the faith. It happens so subtly. Miss a Sunday. Maybe you don't crack your Bible open during the course of the week and do a quiet time or a devotion. The next thing you know, it's been weeks. It's been weeks since you've even had a thought of God, let alone speaking to God. And Scripture goes on to say, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end, what does it say? Will be saved. You know, I wonder, what kind of faith does a person need to endure? What kind of faith does a person need to endure persecution or to remain steadfast with God? What kind of faith does that look like? What kind of commitment must they make to stand firm to the very end? It's a question of, will your heart for Jesus, will your heart for Jesus beat loud and clear regardless of any persecution you might experience? Would you be the one who turns away from the faith? Love will leave your life, replaced by hatred and betrayal. You'll turn cold-hearted, and Scripture says, act increasingly wicked And I think the answer is simply this. One needs an intentional faith. One needs an intentional faith. You see, as Christians, Jesus calls us to do several things. We find them in his final words to the disciples. And it says this, read it with me. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Teaching them to obey some of the things, right? No, it says what?
Everything
I have commanded you, and yet so subtly we don't read our word, and so how can we know what God is asking us to do? Or we don't come to service, or we don't give to God our talents and serve. And Jesus reminds the disciples, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of this age. You know, it's a simple commitment. It's a simple commitment to simply share our journey, our life, with those who walk in our sphere of influence together. To help people first to know God, the God we know. To know them, to help them to know God by us sharing who God is in our life. To not be afraid to say, yeah, I go to church on Sundays. And then to scramble for your sermon notes. You want to know what God said to me last week? Just sharing God. I think one of the most easy ways to share God is when somebody's sharing something, it's a problem, and you say, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. Do you know what a relief that is to someone to know that somebody's actually praying for them for this situation? You want to know what the next step is in helping people to know God? You ready? Pray with them right there and then. How many times have you said to somebody, yeah, I'll pray for you. 2 weeks later, right? Hey, if you're going to say it, you might as well do it. And if you're going to do it, you might as well do it right there. And pray for them. It's not hard. Talk to God. God, I lift up my friend to you who is going through this terrible thing. Give them peace and comfort. Give them strength to endure. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, that wasn't even 10 seconds. But the impact you made in their life was profound. Profound. Just pray for them. And then share how God is working in your own life, like the guy who shared his experience with me, George. He shared it with me. Wow, that was really cool. I knew that God was working in his life in some really interesting ways. And when we share how God is working in our life, wow, God is real to you, huh? Mm-hmm. And we experience God, we help others to know God when we come together and we're present, worshiping God regularly when we're in town, when we give God a portion of our time, our resources, our talents for the building up of the kingdom. Even some of our money so that God's work would continue. We have to note that serving God is rewarding. Right? Can you say serving God is rewarding? Can you say it like you mean it? Serving God
is rewarding.
When we know our service will help others to know and love God. And then eventually that they would serve God too. Did you know when the next eclipse is going to be?
2024, 7 years.
April 24th? That's right. April 24th, 2004, or 24. Mark your calendars. Mark your calendars. And it will be a 99% blockage for the Detroit metro area. So it should be very close for us. And if I'm really committed to seeing the eclipse this time, you know what I'm going to do. Right? I learned from my experience, I'm going to buy some solar eclipse glasses. Maybe the kind with the flag on it. And as Christians, we're fortunate that we don't have to wait 7 years or more to make a deeper commitment to follow God. We don't even need to wait for some upheaval in our lives to occur before we will make a conscious effort to deepen our commitment to God. Today is Baptism Sunday. And this morning I want to give you an opportunity to reconnect with God, to recommit to God. You see, God is waiting for you. God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And God is just waiting for you to say, I love you too, God. I want more of you in my life. God is just waiting for you to say, I want to commit more of me to you. Why don't we say those? I love you, God. Okay, now say it like you're talking to God.
I love you, God.
I want more of you in my life.
I want to commit more of me to you, Lord.
Now, for many of us, like myself, we were baptized as infants. The choice was made by our parents that we should experience God's grace poured out into our lives at an early age. And I thank my parents that they faithfully brought us up to go to church every week. Even though things weren't always great at home, they made sure we went to church every week so that we could learn about God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then at confirmation about the age of 13, we were able to confirm our faith for ourselves. And into my early adult life, I realized that I had diverted myself so subtly away from the Lord. It's easy, isn't it? And when I realized that I had done that, I made a conscious decision to recommit myself to Christ. And I reaffirmed my baptism as an adult. And that was the physical aspect or act that I experienced in reaffirming my faith was through reaffirmation of baptism. So this morning I'm going to give you an opportunity to recommit yourself. Recommit yourself to remember the work that God has done and is doing in your life by remembering our baptisms. And in doing so, I'll ask you some basic questions about faith and belief and commitment in God. And as you answer them, as you answer these questions, think about how you can recommit or deepen your commitment to God this morning. Remember, God's grace is greater than any of your sin. And God can cleanse you from all unrighteousness. There's not anything that God can't cleanse you from. So that it would help you to overcome what it is that keeps you from more of God. You see, God's grace, His unmerited favor, is poured out freely into our lives. It's the power of God into our lives. Let us pray. God, we ask in Jesus' name that as we come to you this morning, as we recommit ourselves to you, Lord, that you would help us to experience, like George, that joy of recommitting to you. That as we remember our baptism, Lord, we would be thankful for all it is that you have done in our lives, that we might glorify you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,